Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. The British Broadcasting Corporation is still deciding what the future holds for its most successful international show. Top Gear, the car culture show, was thrown into disarray recently when the BBC fired one of its hosts, Jeremy Clarkson. Clarkson had been in hot water several times before, but finally went over the line when he berated and physically attacked one of his producers.
The big decision is how the network will retool the cash cow the show represents. But questions also remain about whether the BBC can do it without alienating hundreds of millions of viewers. Among them are auto contributor Mark Savage and Lake Effect's Dan Harmon. The show has existed in form since the 1970s, but Savage says it was Clarkson's reconfiguring of the show in 2002 that made the show the success it became.
Well, to me, Jeremy Clarkson is, one, a good writer, and two, he was very entertaining on the TV show. But I think that it was a TV show, and that was mainly for entertainment. And while they did talk about cars, and while they did kind of review some cars on there, I mean, a lot of it's high-end stuff, and I don't know that it really had a big impact on the automotive world, other than it was keeping a lot of really the fancier cars, super cars out there in the limelight, because they would take them out and test them on their tracks, and obviously they would also do some other more mundane cars. But I really always felt like they were pushing the high-end stuff as much as possible.
Personally, I always viewed it not a show about cars, but it was about what's about cars, or the issues around cars, or the culture of cars. So to me, that's significant as well.
Right. It really is more of a car culture show. And it was for pure entertainment. And, you know, I guess, yeah, all these guys had their opinions on things. But that was mostly about how to make the cars fun, how to do a challenging trip. I mean, whether they're driving the length of Vietnam or whether they're, you know, taking an off-road vehicle, you know, down the side of a mountain or whatever the case may be.
Or to the North Pole.
Or to the North Pole. Yeah. All of that was fun. I kind of looked at it as a humor and adventure show as much as anything.
What I'm also interested in is the, you know, we all think of America as the preeminent car country. We like to think of ourselves that way, and that's just really not true. If you watch this show or have been watching it for the past, what is it, 12 years now?
I think it's been 12 or more years that he's been on there in particular, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that cars are – it's clearly global. There's a global interest in it, and the show, while filmed in Britain, really did focus on all kinds of countries and the cars that they produce. So if nothing else, I mean, as someone that is into cars and interviews about cars, it certainly was a really good way to get to know what else is going on in the world.
Well, right. And they did have, you know, obviously cars from Europe and cars from, you know, they've been to China and everywhere else. And so they had a little bit of everything on there. And it did get some publicity, probably for some makes that, especially here in the U.S., we were unfamiliar with, whether it is a, you know, McLaren supercar or whether it's a Nissan that's sold as a Renault in France. And, you know, there's all sorts of different things out there. I mean, when I was in England one time, I was just shocked at all the different cars that I had never seen before because, you know, I'm pretty U.S.-centric or North American-centric anyway as far as what I'm looking at and testing all the time.
Right, including one you just mentioned, Renault and cars that used to be sold here.
Right. Renault used to be here, right? And Alfa was here, then went away, and now it's back. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that where Citroën, you know, all sorts of makes that are out there or have been over the years that they had some fun with too, with like the Hilux and which is the Toyota truck that, you know, we have had here, but not in that name anyway.
So I think ours is Tacoma would be the closest.
That would be the closest to it right now, right?
All right. Well, do you have any predictions as to what's going to happen with Top Gear? I know we've been talking about it like it's over, but it's not over. The BBC says they're going to continue it in some capacity, but they have a lot of retooling to do before they make any big announcements and continue it.
Well, they will have to do some retooling, that's for sure. You know, I think anybody who's watched Top Gear knows that these three guys had a great chemistry. And whether they just acted like they were irritated with each other or whether they were acting like they were having fun, I don't know. But I did see James May with a little bit of an interview that he did, and it was basically, you know, well, I liked the guy even though he was a goofball and could be a pain. But I think that Clarkson was the guy that made the show click. So, you know, if you take that out of there, it's going to be a different show. I would not be surprised to see all three of them leave and go and do various other things. At this point, I know their contracts were all about to be renewed. So either good or bad timing, depending on where you stand on that. My guess is, yes, the show will continue. My guess is that even if two of the three are back, it won't be the same, and it will quickly fade into the oblivion of television, of things that used to be great now were okay, and eventually maybe a year or two go away, which would be sad. But, you know, everything has its run. I mean, MASH only ran for, what, 45 years or so, and then it had to go away and a few other things. So,
right. Well, the show, I mean, even then at the end of the current run, it was still one of the most widely watched shows in the world, if not the most. I'm not quite sure of the stats on that, but so they clearly have some incentive to keep it going, just if monetarily, if nothing else.
Well, absolutely. I understand the BBC. I think I read that it was its most financially successful show that it had. So yes, there's a big financial push to keep it going, and maybe that will keep the other two gentlemen there, and maybe they'll find a third person to be the the grumpy old man of the bunch or something to keep it entertaining.
It seems like the show could survive more easily if one of the other two besides Jeremy Clarkson left, because since he's the brainchild, he hosted the show before its current incarnation. He was Top Gear before, I don't know, what was it, 15 years, 20 years before?
I think it was like 17 years or something like that. Yeah, it was a long time. So, yeah, it may be that if they shake it up completely, maybe it can land on its feet. But I think all of us who have loved Top Gear over the years and then watched the U.S. version of it can see how poorly it can go if you don't have the right people.
Yeah. What's the reason you think that the U.S. version of Top Gear, for lack of a better phrase, crashed and burned?
It felt stilted. It felt contrived. You never felt like these three guys really knew each other and got along well or didn't get along well. And it felt like it was trying to copy something that had been so successful. You know, maybe they needed to try it with two people, or maybe they needed to have a woman in the mix. I don't know, something to make it different. And maybe that's what they'll try on the BBC's version of Top Gear when they come back. And I guess these guys are going to tour the countryside over the next couple of months, but under their own names instead of under the Top Gear name.
In Europe.
In Europe, right. And I think they have a couple of worldwide tour spots that they get to go to.
Not to stray too much from the British Top Gear, but the U.S. one, I think I'll give my opinion, which is Americans have to be too nice on television. We can't really or at least Americans feel that they can't be as, go for the jugular as much as we would like.
You know, outside of a few networks out there that kind of say whatever they feel, no matter how ridiculous it might be, it seems that certainly American media and television are so PC that you can't have the guy who, you know, utters a few oddball phrases or takes a shot at something. I mean, even in the newspapers and magazines, you know, all of us who have columns or write about things, we're trying to be critical. I think we try to be pretty nice about how critical we are. It's not that you're not being honest, but you aren't saying something as a real pile of whatever, you know, and instead you're saying it didn't work this way or that way for you. So it's a little more PC, a little more refined, and by its own nature, probably a little less entertaining that way.
It doesn't make good television or radio or for a good read.
That's right. I mean, I could go crazy here and start screaming at you, and that'd probably get your ratings way up, you know, but I'm not sure I'd be back.
Let's give it a try.
Okay.
What about – we never actually have talked about automotive programs on television, and there are quite a few. Top Gear – well, there were quite a few, and, you know, they come and go like anything else, but Top Gear eclipsed everything else. I mean – the U.S. has had the longest-running automotive review program ever, as far as I know, and that's Motor Week on public television.
Right. It's been out there for quite a while, and I think it's fine at what it does, but it is certainly not as entertaining. Or, you know, you don't usually laugh when you're watching Motor Week, and if you're watching Top Gear, you were laughing most of the time. And like I say, you may have learned a little bit about the cars along the way, but you were mainly laughing at these three bozos going at it. And yeah, whereas Motor Week is much more informative, I guess, you know, we get to click and clack on a radio as far as the people who were giving you something that was both entertaining and sometimes informative.
Yes.
So, you know, there's been that model too. But on television, you know, there are a number of shows that come and go, and certainly people who are repairing cars or customizing cars and all that. So there's a lot out there. But this one really was in a, you know, in a neighborhood all its own.
Yeah, I always found the criticism of Top Gear for being – the criticism it received was that it did not review cars that everyone could afford to buy or a lot of people could afford to buy. And, of course, to me, that misses the point.
Right. Yeah. I'll say this. You know, I've been writing columns for 30 or so years now, and the columns I get comments on are the fancy cars, the ones that cost a lot of money. And those are the things that people talk to you about. If you've got a Lexus or a Infiniti or a Cadillac or a Jaguar or a Corvette, people comment on it. They want to ride in it. They want to hear about it. And they're just curious because, you know, maybe only 5 or 10% of the market out there can afford something like that. So they're curious about it. And that's what, you know, journalism is all about, satisfying people's curiosity for a certain topic. And you know, everybody can afford a Chevy or a Ford or whatever the case may be. And so, yeah, I may want to know whether it's any good or not, but I'm not going to just read lots of stories about it because it's not as entertaining to me as something that goes from 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds or something like that, because it's like, wow, that's exciting. It's like the difference between going on a roller coaster and going on the teacup ride, you know?
So do you have any predictions about Top Gear you want to put out there?
Well, like I say, I think that it'll be back naturally for a while. And if the two guys return and they have a good third partner, I think it can go on for at least a while longer yet. I think if all of them are gone, unless they come out with just another three amazing people who really get along and have that camera presence and personality that they can push it forward, I would say a year or two and it is done. And Mr. Clarkson, I'm sure, will go on, continue writing and whatever else he feels like doing because he's a very talented guy. It's too bad when somebody's ego gets the better of them. And, you know, we've seen it in coaches. We've seen it in movie stars. And this guy is a TV personality, if nothing else.
All right. Well, I'll put my prediction out there, which is Top Gear will continue without any of the three. And the three of them will start their own show on another network and try to continue in the same format.
That's
my prediction.
That's possible.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Mark.
All right, sure.
Mark Savage writes about cars on his website and in a column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's also associate publisher for 4 magazines at Waukesha's Kalmbach Publishing, American Snowmobiler, Classic Toy Trains, Fine Scale Modeler, and Scale Auto Magazine. He's also our regular auto contributor, and he spoke with Dan Harmon.